So we're looking here at 1 Peter chapter 2, and at the very beginning, when he says the word therefore, he's tying in the first chapter. And when you get into the first chapter, he's talking about who Jesus was, which was typical of most epistles in the New Testament. It talks about who Jesus is, the impact that he's made on your life. It's because of Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection that you even have an opportunity to know God and to have relationship with God. But at the very end of chapter 1 is where he has a strong emphasis, because at the very end of chapter 1 is where he points out, he says that all of this other stuff around you, everything else you see, everything around you is going to fade away and die and go away. Isn't that an encouraging message? It's an encouraging thought, right? That everything you see around physically, every single thing you see is going to just fade away. In fact, Jesus even told the disciples at one point when they were honoring how beautiful the temple looked, Jesus told them, why are you honoring how beautiful this is? Why are you admiring the temple? It's going to be burnt up in the end. And that's encouraging also, isn't it? But the truth is, that's true, and that's one of the hard realities that we don't like to understand, is that basically everything we see, everything we look at, it's going away. Eventually, everything is going away that we see, and when we focus on that, it's hard for us to grasp because, how many times have I heard over the years, I have heard many of you actually give me this advice. I've heard it in my previous church. I heard it in my first church. I believe I heard it when I was even in college. There's always a group of people who have this wonderful piece of advice that I have been told, and maybe you've been told this piece of advice too, but it's pretty much timeless. It's eternal advice. I believe every generation probably says it. I hear it over and over. One thing, Chad, here it is, piece of advice, don't get old. Has anybody ever been told that before? Has anybody ever told somebody that before? Don't get old, right? Or the other one is, it's no fun getting old, right? Because as soon as that starts, and I still don't know exactly when that technically starts or when that happens, when somebody goes from young ship to old ship, where do you draw that line of when someone actually becomes old? And I have to be very careful in how I'm using my terminology today. But the whole idea, when does that happen? Well, and what we're pointing to is we say, don't get old, or no, there's no fun getting old. It's that there's always these signs of humanity that come out that all of a sudden we can't do what we used to be able to do. I've heard how often I've heard, hey, I remember when I could do that. Or my favorite one, and I can pretty much even, I am getting to the point now where I can pretty much say this one, is when you watch the kids playing and you see them jump down on the ground and they bounce right back up and they jump right back down and they bounce right back up. And then somebody's going to say eventually, if I did that, I would never get back up, right? Because humanity, reality is that is all of us are going to be there. It doesn't matter how strong we are, doesn't matter how much of an athlete we are, doesn't matter how much we're in shape, eventually everybody gets there because as he said in chapter 1, everything goes away. It goes away. It's gone. Everything. But he says at the end of chapter 1, there's only one thing that lasts forever, only one thing that's going to endure it that nobody can stop and nobody can push it away, nobody can burn it up, nobody is going to last for eternity, and that is simply the word of the Lord. Everything else is going to fade away but his word. All you get is his word in the end. His word is what stands. His word is what lasts. So that's what he says. So then when he moves into chapter 2 and he throws into the idea of therefore, and he gets into the whole idea, therefore refers back to chapter 1 and says, because of this, this is what I'm going to tell you to do. Because of this, this is what we're after. This is what we're trying to grasp, and this is what we're trying to understand. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So when we look at this, and I was asked this morning about why isn't verse 1 included. Well, the reason that verse 1 it wasn't included on the slides is because following the lectionary, following the Book of Common Prayer at times, because this is the passage that is globally being used. But if you would look at verse 1 right now, if you're looking at it, you can see the things that he's telling you to put aside. And somebody just shout out one thing that he's saying to put aside in verse 1. Hypocrisy. Anything else? Malice. Slander. Deceit. And he's saying to, what was it? Envy. So he's saying to put all of these aside. Now, the idea of putting something aside, I don't know if you've ever experienced that or had to put something aside before, but when you start thinking about the idea of putting something aside, I tend to think about the parental stage that I believe all parents have gotten into at times. And I hate to be the minister because when my family's here, they have to hear me be transparent and be honest up here. And they have to hear me give away my secrets and all that kind of stuff. But the main thing is this, is that is there any parent here guilty of ever falling into the uh-huh stage? And what I mean by that is, child's talking, and you get to the point, and finally, if they're smart enough, they get to the point, are you listening to me? I heard you. In fact, one of our children said this years ago, when I fell into the uh-huh stage, because I guess it has happened before where I fall into the uh-huh stage. I fell into that stage where I was doing the uh-huh, and the older child, who was probably about 8 or 9 at the time, said, that means he's not listening to you. When you say the uh-huh, it means he's not listening to you. And it's the same kind of thing also where if you're busy, you have things going on, but the child comes up and they have something that's very important that has to be done right now. We have to do it now. But as a parent, sometimes you're like, okay, let's put it aside. Let's look at that later. Kind of like the very first time, and I think probably the only time, but the very first time Miranda went away, she was student, she was substitute teaching, and she left me in charge of the kids' homeschooling. Now, I'm educated, I have a degree and all of that, but I'm not a certified teacher like her, and that's my excuse I keep trying to throw up, but basically, the first day that it happened, they brought something to me, and one of them would come up and say, what about this, Dad? Let me see, try to figure that out. You know what? Why don't we just set that one aside, and we'll let your mom look at that when she gets home. Another one comes up. Let me look at that. You know what? Why don't we set those two aside? It'll just be two. It's not. And then by the time she came home, she had a stack over here that she had to go through. And her argument at the time was, I teach all day, and I have to come home and do it again. All because I set it aside. A lot of times we set things aside, don't we? We set things aside because we don't want to have to deal with it, or because we, because at the time our mind isn't there and we can't grasp what's happening. Same thing happens with holidays, right? Anybody here ever forgotten an important holiday? Boy, it got quiet in here. By the way, folks, next Sunday is an important holiday. It's Mother's Day. So I just want to say right now from the bottom of my heart, Happy Mother's Day. That wasn't for you guys, that was for her. So I'm clear, got it done. But you know what? New Hope is taking care of you though. As Woody has already announced, we got baskets for you guys. Get them on the way out. You know, you have it. And then if that's not enough, come on Saturday, get her some chicken for Mother's Day. Right? You can cover the whole holiday. You don't even have to leave the vicinity of New Hope. So on your way out, pick out what you want and we'll... Cards. Guys, we're covered. We're covered, okay? Right. But now what's the point of that? Well, the point of that is sometimes I have been reminded of things, reminded of holidays, and reminded of certain special events that I have forgotten. And the reason I have forgotten them is because when I did know about them, I put them aside thinking they weren't that important and literally put them aside because I have a habit of putting things aside that kind of stay there. Anybody else have that habit? You know, I'll get to that later, and you never do. And then somebody could even tell you, yeah, you put it aside, but you never do. Yeah, you know, you're never going to get to it. And but then your response is what? No, I will get to it. That was different. I'll get to it. That's the idea of putting something aside. Now, in the Greek text of putting something aside, the whole idea of putting something aside means you are disregarding it completely. Disregarding it. You're putting it aside. You're forgetting about it. It isn't even a putting aside, saying I'm going to get that one later. It's the whole idea. I'm simply putting it aside. Done. Not dealing with it. It's over. Not even considering it. So I'm not considering anymore. I'm disregarding malice, envy, deceit. All of the things that have transpired, all of the things that he's listing there. And I want you to think again about every term that he's listing there. And first thing I want you to do is, as we look at those terms, I want you to think about those terms, and is there anybody here who isn't guilty of at least one of those terms at least one time? Malice, envy, deceit, slander. It would be very hard for any of us to stand up and say, not me. Not me. I'm cleared. I'm not guilty of one of those things, Chad. And I wonder how many of us would be able to stand up and say, you know what? I'm not guilty of any of them. Never done one of those in my life. Never committed any type of malice, never had any envious thought, never slandered. All of those, how many of us would be able to claim complete innocence to that, saying that has never taken place? You see, the terms that he's referring to there is important before we get to verse 2, because what's happening there, he's talking about what we do, because he's obviously thinking that they have an issue with these terms, with these things. And what's interesting about it is that, as I'm assuming that all of us could say that we are guilty of those things at least at one time or several times or however we want to say it, that the reason we're guilty is because those things aren't difficult to do. It's not like you have to really try to be hard. It's not like you have to say, you know what, today I want to be envious and I just want to try very hard. I just want to try very hard to be envious. I hate it when I'm not envious. Man, I just want to try hard. If I could just be jealous of somebody right now, who should I be jealous of? You don't have to try to do those. Same thing with the idea of slander. The whole idea of slander is speaking something bad about somebody. And the actual Greek word, it comes from the two words, is backbiting. It's the whole idea that the only reason I'm speaking is because I want to ruin that other person. Has nothing to do with facts, has nothing to do with trying to help them, has nothing to do with trying to improve their life, has nothing to do with the whole, sometimes we hide behind prayer requests and say it, but the whole idea there is I'm only speaking for one reason, and that's to ruin that other person. This is what Peter is saying, you're going to set all these aside. Set all of these aside. These are going to be set aside. You're going to disregard them. Why? He just said it. Because the word of the Lord stands forever. Everything else disappears, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So these things you're going to disregard, you're going to set aside. These behaviors I am not going to do. But instead, what should you do? This is what he says. Instead, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word. There was a video I saw this past week. I don't know how old it is. You know, I've learned, as many of you have, if you follow anything on social media, a lot of times they post videos that are like 10 years old, making you think it happened this week, and then somebody fact checks it and says, nah, that's not new. It happened here and this. But there was this video. There was this, I'm assuming it was the mother. Didn't say for sure it was the mother, but she's sitting at a restaurant, and she's holding her infant. She's holding the baby, and she's talking. She's trying to do two things at once, and she has the bottle, and she's feeding the baby. Problem is, she's not looking. The bottle's right here. His mouth is right here. And he's just kind of, while she's doing this and talking, and just talking to everybody, and not even realizing that she didn't. And of course, he's crying, and then she's wondering, why is he crying? And, well, it's obvious he doesn't. We had a friend years ago with their infant the one time, and he just kept crying. They couldn't figure out what was wrong. She kept trying to feed. It didn't work no matter what took place or what they tried. And then at the very end of the evening, she found that there was something clogged in the nipple of the bottle. And she felt so horrible that all evening long, she's trying to feed this child, wondering why they're screaming. Why are they screaming? Because nothing's there, right? I'm hungry. All of us have been around newborns when they're hungry, right? Or infants when they're hungry. It's not pleasant, is it? In fact, it can get pretty noisy, right? In fact, it can get kind of irritating. In fact, it can get to that stage of, can we do something to stop that? The volume is getting higher and higher, right? That's what Peter is saying they should be when it comes to God's word. That when it comes to God's word, I'm longing for the pure milk of his word. That's what I'm doing. I am longing for his word. I have a desire for his word. And there are many things we can desire in life, many things that we have desires for, many things that can fall into the category of something that we long for. But he's saying it very clear that we long for his word. Now, if we back up and we look at chapter 1, what does he say? His word is the only thing that stands forever. So if his word is the only thing that stands forever, then we better know how to get into his word, because that's what we're going to spend eternity with, is his word. That's the first thing. We move into chapter 2, and then he says, set all of these evil things aside. You're putting all of these aside because you have tasted who Jesus is. And instead of these things, long for his word. I can't tell you, I've mentioned it before, but I can't tell you how much this completely changed my life several years ago. It changed my Christian life, the whole concept of longing for his word. Because up until then, I pretty much understood and believed that I know the word. I grew up with the word. I know God's word. I know what it is. I know the scriptures. I learned it all. Went to all the church services. But I can honestly say that until that certain point in my life, when God made a shift, that there really wasn't much of a longing for his word. It was more of a, I know. It was more of a, I understand. I know God's word. Other people don't. It's a shame, but I know his word because I've been in the church my whole life, and I know his word. In fact, I was one of those kids, and again, Transparent Sunday, I was one of those kids that I kind of had some ownership of our church. Our family was the first ones there. My brother used to say we got there before God woke up. We were there before anybody. We pretty much lived at the church. My father wasn't even the minister. And so if visitors would come in or somebody else would come in, I'd have this mindset, this attitude, even as a kid and moving into my teenage years, I would have this mindset of, you're in my place, man. Let me tell you how things are done here. Because I'm one of the solid ones. I'm one of the solid ones that come here. I attend regularly. I know the scriptures, and And you coming in, we need to make sure that you understand how this is supposed to operate. The problem was, I did everything you were supposed to do. I functioned as a believer. I functioned as a Christian. I attended. I memorized the scriptures, everything. But the problem was, pride snuck in to the point where I was convinced that I knew it all, to the point that there was no desire or longing to hear anything else from His Word. I was the one who already knew, and I was done, and I graduated. And that's why He's saying here, we are to long for it as newborn babies long for the pure milk. And when you keep following that analogy out, it comes to the place of, I don't want to go a day without His Word. The same way an infant doesn't want to go a day without being fed. I don't want to go a few hours without His Word. The same way an infant doesn't want to go a few hours without being fed. I want to long for Him. I want to have a desire. So I want to leave you today with a word, and it's an interesting word, and you've probably seen it. If you've ever received an email from me, you've seen this word, because this is something that that my mentor advised me on several years ago, and I started doing it. But the whole idea of seeking, and I want you to think about the term seeking. Because usually the idea of seeking is the idea that you lost something, so you look for it, so you are seeking it, right? So I actually put at the bottom of my emails on my signature, I always say seeking Him, and I put my name. And I remember one person who was also another believer received that one time. He responded, and he put at his signature, he said, found Him, and put his name. And so I was trying to understand how he interpreted what I was saying when I said seeking Him. But my mentor always put it this way. He said, I don't seek because I haven't found. He said, I seek because I have found. In other words, I want more. That's why he's saying, if you have tasted Jesus Christ, if you have tasted the things of Christ, you are to long for more. Once you get the taste, you want to keep coming back. Once you get that taste, you long, you desire for more. You want to understand more of who He is. And what is He pointing out? What do we long for? What do we desire? We desire His Word. Because that's the only thing that's going to endure and last forever. I know we have a lot of visions or imaginations or ideas of what eternity is going to look like or what heaven's going to look like. And I know there's been many debates over the years of what it actually is, and it's kind of interesting seeing all the debates, because the bottom line is nobody really knows for sure what exactly it's going to look like when we're in eternity, right? I mean, there's been many opinions. A lot of people have said things, and you know, Scripture does refer to it. Revelation says some things, but it's also a matter of interpretation. What did John actually mean when he said this? What did John mean when Jesus said He has a mansion? What's that mansion actually look like? And what did it mean when He wrote that? Did it mean the same thing as what we think a mansion is? And if you do a word study on it, you find there's some differences in how we define mansion versus how He was defining mansion. So there's a lot of ways for us to think about what is eternity going to look like? But according to this, the only thing that I can see so far is that we know for certain that in eternity, we are going to be in His Word. Which means, this is why he's saying it here, as newborn babies, we should be longing for His Word now, so that when we get to eternity, it's not the, what's that? That's His Word. Oh, that. I never really got into that when I was on earth. They told me to, but I never did. But so we could actually show up and, wait a minute. And what that would mean is, we really wouldn't fit in that place, would we? Because His Word is what stands and lasts forever. So I want to ask you, are you a seeking person today? Are you somebody who seeks, not because you haven't found Christ, but because you have found him, that causes you to seek him more, and that means that you are just desperate and desire, and you have a longing in your heart for more of his word so that you can be guided according to what he wants and what he desires. Because if we don't, what are we left to? Malice, deceit, slander. See, that's what happens. That's why cultures erode. That's why cultures go south, is because they put his word aside instead of putting these behaviors aside, and then naturally they just turn into the worst, and what we end up with is jealousy and slander and all the things that are possible to be disobedient to God's ways. He's saying, no, because his word stands forever, put these aside. Disregard them and long for his word. There's a lot of strategies I'm sure you've heard of, and I'll close with this one. You've heard of these strategies, but this is just an idea. It doesn't mean you have to do it this way, but I've heard it this way, and it seems to be somewhat functional and somewhat, it does seem to solve the issue, is that every time you're tempted, let's just say what he's saying in verse 1, every time you're tempted to be slanderous, or every time you're tempted to be jealous, all the different things that he's listing there, every time you're tempted in that way, that should spring you back into his word. As soon as you have the temptation, as soon as you have the inclination to say something you shouldn't say, man, right then, where's the Bible? I need the Bible. Why? I need it. Give it to me now. Gotta have it. Why? I'm gonna say it if I don't. Give me the Bible. That's kind of where we need to be with this, right? As soon as we have that inclination, I'm going to do something I shouldn't do. Get back to the Bible. I got to get in his word because something's not right. Because that's what I need. Because that's the foundation. And because that's the only thing that lasts and endures forever. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word, for your truth, for all that you mean to us. And we ask, Father, that you would help all of us, Jesus, to search our hearts, search our souls. May we long for your word. May we disregard all the other behaviors that are not of you. And in place of those behaviors, may we have a desire for what you have to say in our life. We have tried so many other things, Jesus. Tried so many other solutions. Even after we come to know you, we try other solutions that really don't hold water to your word. But we do, we try, we think this might be the solution, this might be the best way, but in reality, the only way to live our life the way you desire it is for us to be in your word, for us to study the scriptures, for us to consistently have a longing to hear what you have to say. And I ask today, Jesus, that you would speak truth into every single person's life here through your word. And we ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus.